Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy it is to be here, Mother's Day. Help us, Lord, to be an encouragement to all who are here. Help us, Lord, this even at this time, to have an open heart, open ears and eyes, that we may hear from you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I kind of wondered if I asked, if my mom was here, she's with the Lord, and if I asked her what was the greatest part or the most challenging part of being a mom, I would love to hear what that was all about. I just remember as growing up in a family of knowing, always having a sense that I was loved. And that was in the midst of a family where, as I've shared before, I was not a perfect child. But I don't think my mom expected me to be. And so she was kind of ready for what came each day. One of my sweetest memories was when I was in college, I was a forestry major first, and I fell into something I really loved, and that was the study of entomology, or bugs, basically. And it meant the vast memorization of different bug parts. Now, who here has ever taken an entomology class? All right, a couple people. It's thrilling, really, you know, if you like bugs. And I was going to be tested on this massive thing of how to identify, you know, a Lepidoptera and what, you know, how many distal things and spurs it had. And I'll never forget my mom staying up with me nearly all night, just prepping me for that. I'll also never forget that I would come home, even before I was a believer. I don't even know how I got home sometime. I'm sad to say. But one of the things I knew that, you know, mom wouldn't go to bed until every kid was home. Now, she may fall asleep in the chair, and then she had that radar going on, you know, back door, try to sneak in. That's all good. But part of it is that I've been blessed. I've been blessed to be married to a great mother. As we look at this passage today in Psalm 131, take a little break from the Gospel of John, I share this because it's really a verse that God is really hammering me with in the last many months. It's one of the shortest Psalms, but I do think it has something to say not only to moms but to all of us today. Here's what it says. O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself with great matters, or in things too difficult for me. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul, and like a weaned child resting against his mother, my soul is like a weaned child within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. I want to ask you the question, how are you going to make it through next year? How are you going to make it through the rest of your life? Aren't you glad that at the beginning of this year or last year, that God did not send you a letter by angelic courier, knocks on your bedroom door at night, comes in and says, I have this letter for you. It's everything that's going to happen in your life this next year. Some of us would be petrified to open it, you know. I think about my father at my same age. I'm 53. If my father would have received a letter at age 53 saying, oh, by the way, Don, here's what's going to happen. You're going to have a great time. But by the way, your wife's going to find out that she's got cancer. And 18 months later, the mother of your children is going to be in my presence. So you know why God doesn't give us those letters? Because we can't handle it. And we got nutcase people who think that they want to go find out from some tea leaf person or tarot card or some nutcase thing. It's ridiculous. If God meant for us to have that information, if he thought we could handle it, he would give it to us. But here's what he says. I want you to trust that stuff with me. The stuff that's out of your control, trust with me. Now, this psalm, Psalm 131, is a psalm called a psalm of ascent. There's a group of psalms from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134 that are psalms of ascent. Now, ascent means what? Go up. So they're going up to Jerusalem to where the temple was. And as they're going to a feast, they're going to Passover, they're going to the Feast of Tabernacles, they're going to the temple to pray, to offer an offering or sacrifice. These are the psalms that they would sing to prepare their hearts to go to church. And I just love these psalms. I had to ask myself the question, what songs do I sing to prepare my heart to come on Sunday morning? It's kind of convicting, you know. But the fact is that they did. And so here, I'll just give you little tidbits of what some of these psalms of ascent talk about. Psalm 120, verse 1 says, "In my trouble I cried to the Lord, and he answered me." Psalm 121, 1 and 2. "I will lift up my eyes to the mountains, from where shall come my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made the heaven and earth." Psalm 122 says, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Psalm 123, 1. "To you I lift my eyes, O you who are enthroned in heaven." 124. One says, "Had it not been for the Lord on my side, let all Israel now say, had it not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, and they would have swallowed us alive." Moves on, 125, 2. "As a mountain surrounds Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever." 126, 5 and 6. "Those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. Those who go forth in weeping shall in his bag of seed shall indeed come again with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him." You know, it's not all easy being a believer. It's not all happy, happy Jesus stuff. You know? It's walking at times through the valley of the shadow of death, tears in our eyes, going, "Oh Lord, how am I going to make it?" And he says to this person, doesn't say, "Hey, don't come there with this attitude." He said, "Listen, come and I'm going to give you joy." Isn't that good news? Yeah, I mean, it's something that I have to wrestle with all the time. His life is tough. Move on. Chapter 1, Psalm 127, verse 1. "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen keep it in vain." 128:1. "How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways." 133:1. "Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity." And 134:1-3. "Behold, bless the Lord, all the servants of the Lord, who serve by the night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the sanctuary and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made the heavens and the earth." These are some great stuff. This is great stuff. Psalms of ascent. And I want to encourage you to read them. But today we want to focus on one, Psalm 131. Charles Spurgeon, that great preacher of old, calls Psalm 131 one of the shortest psalms to read, but one of the longest to learn. He says it is a short ladder, yet one that rises to great heights. You see what it is? It's really a psalm about Christian maturity. It's a psalm about growing up. And it's a psalm about growing up, but it's got the weirdest analogy in it. It's got the weirdest word picture. It says, grow up, but do that in the Lord's lap. And so we want to talk about this. And this is hopefully an encouragement to moms and grandmoms that are here, and to all of us. Three things that this little short psalm tells us. Three things that we are to keep in mind if we're going to have the kind of life that the Lord blesses. The first is this, and that is the concept of Humility. Humility is when we face trials, we know that divine help is available. We're prone to tell God, no, don't bother, I'll take care of the problem on my own. The psalm begins with say, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty. Augustine said this about the greatest virtues of Christianity. He says the three greatest virtues of Christianity are this: humility, second, humility, and third, humility. Is putting our relationship with the Lord in proper perspective. But we live in a world today that is telling not just men but women, no, the way you make it is by being assertive and a pain in the neck and na 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 na. And the fact is that there is a proper amount of assertiveness for both men and women. But friends, it's never outside the scope of godly humility. We see this picture here. Oh Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty, nor I involve myself in great matters, things too difficult for me. And I realized this, is that as I read through this list, I went on and I found some things that, what are the greatest challenges of moms? Moms having a chance to, here's my challenge. And some of these here, frankly, are, you know, their greatest challenges, you know, I don't want to hurt my child, I need more sleep, and all these things are absolutely valid, that's for sure. Here's what one says. I'm a 41-year-old mom in Albion, Indiana. I personally feel the hardest part about being a mom is finding the time to do things I enjoy. I'm not saying I regret being a mom, but it's difficult to find time for activities other than taking care of the household and the needs of my family. However, I still cherish every moment with my children because I realize that someday they will be grown and I'll miss having them at home. I recall feeding my daughter, and all the time I realized how precious those moments were. See, moms shouldn't focus on the negative aspects of parenting because the child won't stay there forever. My advice to moms, other moms, would be to cherish special moments and try to ingrain them in your memory. Someday you'll wish you could go back to them, go back in time, even for just a little while, to hold your kids again, spend time with them as children, and remember exactly all the little details that are so easy to forget. Well, that's the precious part of it. The other part of it is that you're trying to figure out, well, how do I get four kids ready to go to church in 5 minutes? You know, what do I do with a child who's never stops crying? One story here, the one girl said, you know, they said, well, your child has colic. You'll just have to learn to live with the crying. And it drove her crazy. The fact is there are things in life that we cannot, as God does not give us the script of our lives, he doesn't give it to our kids, and he doesn't give the script to us for our kids. We're supposed to just help the best we can. And I'm speaking now as a father. We got Father's Day coming up, and I'll preach to myself on that one. The fact is this, it is hard being a parent. Because we all want the best for our kids. But we have to realize that foremost, God knows what's best for them. And he holds them in his hands. He even holds the prodigals, sons and daughters, and grandkids in his hands. And we see here in the midst of all these things, and there's nothing wrong with us trying to sort things out. But here's the problem, and I fall into it myself. I want to get it all sorted. I want to get it all figured out. And God says, Gary, you can't. Doesn't work that way. The sin of pride is revealed in self-sufficiency, self-importance, self-righteousness, and self-indulgence. I believe that humility means understanding our limitations. And I share that with you as a fellow struggler. I share that with moms today. Understand your limitations. God gave you limitations. He doesn't have any limitations, but you do. Maturity means accepting these things we can't comprehend. So there's things that are out of our control. And so the longer I'm a Christian, the more I understand this, that there are things that I don't understand. That there are things that God only can understand. It's a mystery. When I see him face to face, I'll know these things. Anselm, who was a very godly monk of the 11th century, had a prayer. Here's his prayer. Lord, I do not seek, O Lord, to penetrate thy depths. I by no means think my intellect equal to them. But I long to understand in some degree thy truth, which my heart believes and loves. Get this. For I do not seek to understand that I may believe, but I believe that I may understand. Friend, that's the strength. We believe in the Lord. He gives us the grace and the faith and the mercy to understand the things that are very, very difficult. I love the songs of the singer, Christian singer, Stephen Curtis Chapman. One of his songs is, God is God and I am not. When I was preaching years ago through the Gospel of Matthew, the key theme of the Gospel of Matthew is that Jesus is the King and you are not. And I learned to say in my life, He is the King and I am not. Do that with me. He is the King and I am not. That doesn't really count. You got to point to heaven. He is the King and I am not. Now, here's what I got to tell you. In the last year, I can only speak of the last year because that's all I can remember right now. The fact is, in the last year, I have gotten into trouble when I have reversed that. I somehow thought somehow that I was the King and the Lord somehow was sitting beside me, and when I needed wise counsel, I went to him. What do you think I should do? He's, oh, King, do this. That's not how it works. He's the King. He does seek, he says, I seek him as the King. Oh, King, what should I do? And moms, that's one of the things it says here where we have to start. You have to start with Jesus being your King. And it says as the things that are out of your control lay in his hands. It says in Philippians chapter 4, a verse that is probably the most oft-quoted by myself, one meditated on by myself because I have to do it to survive. So Proverbs 4, 6 and following. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will stand guard on your heart and on your mind in Christ Jesus. Then it goes on in verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whether it's pure and lovely and right and good repute, everything's praiseworthy or worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Why do I memorize that? Why do I meditate on it? But that's where the struggle is, and that's the struggle of the psalmist here. He said, listen, I'm not proud. Lord, there's stuff I can't, I'm going to have to leave it in your hands. And I have to realize in my own mind, and I, you know, that when I try to wrestle with stuff too much, it's a sign of pride in my life. Instead of saying, okay, Lord, I give it over to you. So the first thing we learn here is the issue of humility. The next one is here, this picture of contentment. Here, listen to this. Surely I have composed and quieted myself, and like a weaned child rests against his mother, my soul is like a weaned child within me. In the ancient world, a child was typically fully weaned by age about 2 or 3. Okay? Now, a weaned child is a one who wants to jump up in mom's lap, not for food, but for what?
Comfort.
So here's some pictures. There's one. Here's some more. Tell me what these all have in common. What do they all have in common? Togetherness. What else? Love. What else?
Safety.
Assurance. Comfort. You think mom was kind of ticked off in those pictures?
No.
Oh, come on, get out of my lap, kid. No. It seems like the mom's kind of, hey, I like this. There's a contentment. There's a sense of safety. There's something that's almost like time stands still, right? Precious. I love that one of the mom in camo. Oh, man. That's huge. Friends, the picture we have here, and I share this with the moms, is that as you maybe have experienced, maybe it was a long time ago, and maybe it wasn't even your own child, just another child just sleeping in your lap. That's what the psalmist says is his goal. I want to get back to that place. And I can't climb up into my mommy's lap anymore because I'm 53. She's with the Lord. This says, but the Lord's like that. It may sound corny for a man saying this, but hey, we got to learn to crawl up into the Lord's lap somehow. To be still and know He's God. To leave those things that are troubling us in His hands, or they'll drive us crazy. Amen? Things too big for me, it says. And like a weaned child in his mother's lap. It says, my soul is become like that weaned child. And a question I ask you this morning, don't answer out loud. Is your soul like a weaned child this morning? Are you experiencing that kind of oneness with the Lord? Talked about it last week, about the person who trying to know the ocean by studying maps and atlases, pretty important stuff. But they never walk on the beach. They never see a sunset. We need both. We need to know the Lord is King and He's the creator of the heavens and the earth, and He can kind of do one of those and He can vaporize everything, or He can do one of those and make mountains rise, raise from the dead. He can come and separate sheep from goats, and in the end, he's everything's going to be sorted out. But He's the same one who says, come to Me, all who are weary. He's the someone who says, I'm the shepherd, and I will carry My sheep. And it's the same one who's saying to him, I'm just, like again, the moms today, give over the cares and find that time where you're crawling up into the Lord's lap. That happens in times of quietness that are hard to find sometimes. I went to a LeaderCast thing. Thanks, Jeff, for your hard work on that. It's a good thing. Here's one of the things that caught my attention. A list of things. Asked how many people have a to-do list in their life that they use. I raised my hand. How many of us have things not to-do list? Or things to stop doing list. The fact is, for myself, if I have clean spot in my my calendar, for whatever reason, I got to fill that up. You know? And the Lord is saying to me, Gary, you need to fill that up more with Me. There are some things happening in all of our lives right now that if the Lord doesn't come through, I don't know what happens. It's just scary, isn't it? But He will come through. Why? Because He promises to. He promises to. I wrote this down. I think it's important to say. One, first of all, that maturity is about relationship and not reasoning. God's already fully revealed Himself. We may not understand Him completely. And we won't till we get to heaven. But the comfort we get comes from the relationship that we have with Him. God cannot calm and quiet our soul if we're not willing to be quieted. If we keep running from Him. Now we must choose to trust God. So we have the first step here, the thought is one of humility. We give over to the Lord those things We don't think so highly of ourselves that we somehow can sort everything out. Next, we compose ourselves, quiet our soul by taking on the very picture of a weaned child in its mom's lap. And lastly, we find our hope in the Lord. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. You know, there's something, you know, we show that picture of the mom in camo and the little child. You know, they find that kids whose parents have been on deployment and have been moved around, that they get very clingy because they're not sure when mom or dad's going to leave again. Okay? There's a separation anxiety. Here's what I want to tell you. There is no need for separation anxiety with the Lord. He will never leave you or forsake you. No need for it. Hope means to trust. It is a positive sense of expectation and joyful anticipation of what God promises to do. I think it's hard for us. We somehow think that our lives are so wrapped up in our kids. And as you know, Sue and I, we wrestle and go through this time of, boy, here's a in transition, our kids are getting older, and what does that mean for us? And you know what? I have to remind myself, He's the King and I'm not. It doesn't mean I check my brain or my skills or my whatever or my passions at the door, but they have to be in God's hands and He'll show us the way. But the hope is in the Lord. Hope is in the Lord. We hope in the Lord, we recognize our dependence on God. He's the King and we're not. We do not put our hope in the circumstances of life because the circumstances of life are fickle. Say amen on that one. How many of you have had at least one fickle thing happen in the last year? Some of you didn't raise your hand. I mean, that's you're probably stunned you've had too many of them. And things will happen next year too. And God allows those things because He wants to show His strength. And I would love to be able to choose for myself a very smooth and bumpless road. But then I wouldn't be what God wants me to be. I look back at the last 5 years of my life. 5 years ago, I told my former church, hey, we're moving to New Zealand. And then we did that, fixed up a house, couldn't sell a house, bought a house, moved into, you know. And it's been a whirlwind. And in the midst of all that, here's what I can tell you. God has never left us. And God's grace is sufficient. Our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is not in the circumstances. Our hope is not in, I sure hope next year doesn't have any challenges. Because if that's what my hope is, I'm going to be sorely disappointed. I love missionaries. Anyone who's saying, you know what? I'm going to go to Alaska. And I'm going to try to bring the word of Christ to that culture. And I spent some time with the Zimmermans, and I will more of this next week. You know, that's courage. It's commitment. But here's what one missionary said. Missionary to Africa had this to say about trust. I can show you the graves of missionaries who died what have been called premature deaths in Africa. If my trust were in God's protection, my trust would have crumbled long ago. But my trust is in God, in the belief that He is in control of that. Whatever happens will happen for His glory. Friends, that's great faith. That's hope. If my trust was in circumstances, then I'm going to be dashed. I'm going to be like the waves, you know. If your trust is in, I'll only be happy if my kids get straight A's, or they go to bed on time, or they say thank you, or clean the room. or successful. Friends, those things are out of your control. Really, they are. But our hope is in the Lord. I will say this, and I say it to myself as a reminder, that God is more concerned about our kids than we are. What I would say to you, moms that are here, says, humble ourselves. We put those difficult things in God's hand. Next, we find a time where we, as part of our being, we find ourselves in close intimacy with the Lord. And that's where we find our hope. And here's what I would tell you. Your primary job in life is not to love your husband. It is not to love your children. Now, those are important, and they're in the Bible. Your primary strength and priority is love the Lord. And then when your husband's difficult, which he is probably many times, and your children are difficult because you are difficult and God's getting back at you. Yeah, you know. You reap what you sow. Then God simply says, hey, listen, you put me first, seek me first in my kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. He's crying out to us, trust in the Lord with all our hearts. Lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge him, and he will make our path straight. Lean not on our own understanding. Trust in the Lord. You know, in the Alps, there is a famous mountain, and halfway up that mountain, you start at the bottom of these beautiful valleys, and then you're walking up, and you want to climb this great mountain. About halfway up, there's this beautiful chalet. This beautiful chalet. And it's a popular place to rest on your hike. You get up there about lunchtime, sit down, big fire, and there's, you know, they got coffee brewing, and they probably got some Danish over there, and they got some popcorn. It's very, very nice, I'm sure. And it is at that place, at that rest stop halfway through the day, that separates the men from the boys and the girls from the women. Here's what someone said. When some amateur climbers feel the warmth of the fire and smell the good cooking, they say to their companions, I'll just wait here while you go to the top. And when you come back down, I'll join you, and then we'll walk down to the base camp together. A glaze of satisfaction comes over them as they sit by the fire, or they hear the piano and sing mountain climbing songs. But at 3:30 in the afternoon, everything changes. They start looking toward the mountaintop as their friends reach the summit. And suddenly the atmosphere in the rest of the house changes, and they think, if only I'd kept climbing. I would pray that today you would have hope to keep climbing. Moms, you have the toughest job, one of the toughest jobs in the universe. And so, though that role is not given to every person, to those it is given to, God's grace is sufficient. But the temptation to find a cozy spot by the fire and not to keep going, let me encourage you, all of us, to keep going. The three things that I believe that keep us from going to the mountaintop, becoming what God wants, one is weariness. Just so tired. Then let's find our strength in the Lord. The other one is fear. What will happen? What if this happens? What if an avalanche happens? What if my kids do this? What if I da-da-da-da-da-da-da? What if I don't have this? You know what? There's no fear in the Lord. Don't walk in fear. Walk by faith. And the last thing that keeps us from going on is comfort. Amos 6:1, woe to you who are at ease in Zion. The Lord hasn't placed us in a place of ease. He's placed us in a place of peace in his presence.